Most of the lesson tonight will be taken from the book of Hebrews. You will turn to Hebrews chapter 6 and verse 5. Hebrews chapter 6 and verse 5. As I announced this morning, we're going to take a test tonight. We're going to have the Bible taste test. Hebrews chapter 6, verse 5. The writer says, "And have tasted the good word of God and the powers of the world to come." He's talking to Christians, and he's talking to people that have been obedient to the faith, and he's talking to people who've strayed away. You know, the book of Hebrews was initially written to people who understood that God had spoken to man in the past. Because if you'll look at Hebrews chapter 1, verses 1 through 3, the writer starts out the book by saying, "God, who at sundry times and in divers of various manners, spake in times past unto the fathers by the prophets, hath in these last days spoken to us by his Son, whom he hath appointed heir of all things, by whom also he made the worlds, and who being in the brightness of his glory and the express image of his person, and upholding all things by the word of his power, when he had by himself purged our sins, sat down on the right hand of the majesty on high." The writer tells us that God had spoken to people, spoken to Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, the prophets, Old Testament prophets in the New Testament, in the Old Testament. He says, "But now in the New Testament times, in the last days, he's spoken to us by his Son, Jesus Christ." And he says that Jesus Christ was there when God made all things. He said Jesus is the brightness of his glory. He's the express image of his person. He says he holded up all things by the word of his power. Now he's purged our sins on a cross. And he rose from the dead that we might have eternal life. And now he sat down at the right hand of the majesty of God himself on high. Now much attention is given God's word in this book. In this book of Hebrews. Much attention is given to God's word throughout the Bible. About the authority of God. And about what God likes, what God dislikes. In the text of this lesson, we can see the possibility of brethren, according to Hebrews chapter 6 and verse 6, of falling away. The writer says, "Some shall fall away," in verse 6. "But if they shall fall away," he's talking about these people who have gone back into the world. "One also sees some of the blessings that he or she has received in becoming a Christian." You know, after you become a Christian, you have the enormous blessings of life from God himself. And you see how God can help you through trial and tribulation and problems that if you didn't have God and you didn't have his help, you couldn't make it. One of these blessings is that we have tonight is tasting the good word of God. And we said this is a Bible taste test. This tasting the word, the good word of God. God's going to gave us the Bible that we can learn it and that we can become the good word of God to us as individuals. This lesson tonight, we emphasize number one, the importance of taste. Number two, the nature of God's word. Number three, the effect of the taste on our lives. Those are the three areas we'll consider tonight. Number one, the importance of taste. A popular practice in our society, when you go into a supermarket, you see these people handing out samples and asking you to try this particular product. And they provide a little taste of that product. See if you like it. If you like it, then you maybe be apt to buy it. Well, taste is an interesting experience in our lives. Some things we taste, we like. Some things we taste, we dislike. Some things we taste, we don't like, we spit them out. Therefore, the first in the dictionary, you're looking like Webster's dictionary, you'll find the definition of taste is an experience. Experience of something that happens to a person or undergo. So therefore, we experience certain things we like, certain things we dislike. We undergo certain things in our lives. Jesus, in Hebrews chapter 2, verse 9, Jesus tasted death. The word tasted means he experienced death for you and for me. You like Jim, I'll get my grammar right now. So he tasted death for you and I. And he was put in a bar tomb, and he rose from the dead that we might have remission, that we can have eternal life. If you look at Hebrews 6 and 4 now, there were people in the writer's day that they had tasted the heavenly gift. They had obeyed the gospel. He says in verse 4, they were once enlightened. They tasted the heavenly gift. They tasted that good word of God. And in the initial phase of their lives, they liked it. And were made partakers of the Holy Ghost. But they didn't continue that. They strayed away from God. They strayed away from His Son. Their taste for the good word of God had ceased. And their taste for the things of the world had increased. Therefore, we have to be careful tonight to continue to long for and to enjoy and to taste the good word of God. Don't be like these people in Hebrews 6. They said, verse 6, if they shall fall away, to renew them again to repentance, seeing they crucified in themselves the Son of God afresh and put him to an open shame. These Christians had been enlightened. They obeyed the gospel. They tasted the heavenly gift. They had the gift of the Holy Ghost come into their lives. They tasted the good word of God. They understood what the powers of the world had come. But he said that they should fall away. It's to renew them again to repentance. And because they've chosen this route, they've chosen to crucify the Son of God afresh in their lives by the way their lives are in their before God. Second place, taste and the nature of good of God's word. We find out the good word of God. It's described in verse 5, have tasted the good word of God. Vine in Vine's Expository Dictionary of New Testament Words said God's word is good, and he defines good that which is internally good or beautiful. That which is internally good or beautiful. That you read the word of God and it helps you in your life. It helps you in your attitude. It helps you in your thinking, in your thought processes. It helps you in your dealing with other people. He said, therefore it's internally good for you. It's internally beautiful that you want to incorporate these words in your life. And then, taste, as we say, is to experience. What do when we study the Bible? We're tasting God's word. We're experiencing God's word. We're experiencing what He wants us to know in His word. And then how to apply those principles to our lives. Look at the lives of other people in the Old Testament, New Testament, and see the mistakes they made, so to speak. See the mistakes they made and not stop trying to make the same mistakes they made. Or see the beautiful lives which they led. And see that we need to continue to obey God tonight and through the rest of our lives, that our lives will be one of service to God. Our lives will be pleasing to God. And that He will know that we are sincere in tasting the good Word of God and keeping that taste in our minds, that we want more and more and more of it through a daily study of the Bible. It's just like these schedules. Every day read so many chapters of the Bible. And you're tasting the good Word of God every day. You're applying those principles. You're applying those truths to your life. And you're remembering those truths. And they help you on your daily activities of life. The good Word of God. The good Word of God. It is the Word of God. It's not a Word of God. It is the Word of God, which has come to us from God through inspiration. The word inspire means God breathed. God breathed His message to different men. It says, holy men of God, as they spake, as they were moved by the Holy Spirit. And God gave the message to these men. And these men wrote down the words of God, but they used their own style. But we still have the Word of God. The 66 books which comprises the Bible is the Word of God. If you're look with me to 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 16 and 17. 2 Timothy chapter 3, 16 and 17. It said, all Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. He said all Scripture. In the Greek, the word Scripture is grapho, means writings. All writings that we have in the Bible is given by the inspiration of God breathed to these men. And the purpose of the Bible is what? It's profitable for doctrine. It's profitable for teaching. What we're doing now, that's what we're learning. You and I are learning from the Word of God. It's profitable for reproof. It's profitable for correction. It's profitable for instruction in righteousness. He says, in all these areas, you do the Word of God, then will make you complete. And you can be thoroughly furnished to every good work. You have the Word of God as a sword of the Spirit to go out and fight evil with the Word of God and to teach others positively what they need to hear concerning their relationship to God. Then the Word is identified in Hebrews chapter 5 and verse 12 as the oracles of God. The oracles of God. It is the words. It is the actual words of God. That what He wants us to know, what He wants us to believe, what He wants us to understand. People have problems today appreciating God's Word because why? Why do people have problems today? They have lost the sight of God's reality in their lives. They've lost the sight of God's reality. They're so concerned about their own way of life. They don't let God lead them through His Word. They have lost respect for the Bible as His Word. Do you ever think you'd come to this point in this country which people wouldn't respect the Word of God? I never did. I remember in the 60s, you know, the Word of God was being preached and being in debates and taught. But now, people do not want to hear the Word of God. Don't even want God's name mentioned in schools, some places of business, universities. But people have lost respect for the Bible. Let's not us lose respect for the Bible. Let's us keep on. Because Jesus says, Matthew 7, 13 and 14. He says, those on the broad road are many, and their plight is destruction. Those on the narrow road are few, and their reward, therefore, will be eternal life. Let's keep on the road to eternal life. Let's keep on that narrow road. Because it's It's really important that we taste and know what the nature of God's word is and apply it and put it in our lives. Thirdly, the necessity of God's word. God's word is necessary for us in our lives. God's word is the only book that we can go to know what we need to do to be saved and to keep saved. We cannot go out here to Davis Kid Bookstore or Borders Bookstore or any bookstore here in this town and get books like that, because God's word is the only thing that would tell us that. You get self-help books, you get all kinds of books, but still the Bible is the most important book of your life, because it's the roadmap to heaven, to how you can get to heaven. Because in the Bible, salvation has been revealed. Now, let's look at Hebrews chapter 2, verses 1 through 4. Hebrews chapter 2, verses 1 through 4. The writer starts out by saying, "Therefore we ought to give the more earnest heed to the things which we have heard, lest at any time we should let them slip. For if the word spoken by angels and was steadfast, and every transgression and disobedience received a just recompense and reward, how shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation, which at the first began to be spoken by the Lord and was confirmed unto them that heard him? God also bearing them witness, both with signs and wonders and with divers miracles and gifts of the Holy Ghost, according to his own will." The writer says that we have to be careful. We ought to give them all earnest heed to things which we've heard, according to the word of God. Now, he said, we choose to let them ignore them, we'll let them slip, and then we can be lost. He said, even the word that was spoken by angels in times past was steadfast. And then every transgression that you read about, like in the Old Testament, and disobedience, those people received a just recompense of reward. He says if those people didn't escape before God, such as those people at the flood, or those people that disobeyed God, and he dealt with them directly at that point, he said, how shall you and I escape if we neglect so great salvation? He calls it the great salvation that Jesus gave us. He said this salvation was first spoken by the Lord, Jesus himself. And he said then the starting of the church in the book of Acts. And he says, then the apostles were given, Jesus said they were given powers to do miracles. He said they did signs, they won wonders and various miracles and gifts of the Holy Ghost according to his own will. They showed miracles. They did miracles in early days of the church to prove that these people had been with Jesus. Now, God's word criticizes also our thinking. Now let's look at chapter 4, verse 12. Turn the page. Chapter 4, verse 12. It describes what God's word is. For the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit and of the joints and marrow and to the discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. Said the word of God is quick, it's powerful, it cuts to the heart than any two-edged sword, physical sword could. He said this goes even deeper. It pierces to the dividing asunder. It divides the joints and the marrow. And the word of God also lets us know it's a discerner of the thoughts, of the things which we think about, and in the intents of the heart. Thoughts and things in which we think about doing. May not do them, but we think about doing them. But he said the word of God will convict us. It will criticize our thinking. There are two metaphors in the Bible which talks about the Bible. One is milk. You remember, in milk is used to tell us that those people who were supposed to be Christians, that they had need someone teach them again the first principles of the oracles of God. And Paul said they have need of milk again instead of strong meat. These are milk is first principles. They're foundation of basic doctrines, which you and I learn after we become a Christian. Then the other metaphor is meat. Now, what's meat concerning the Word of God? Well, from the priesthood of Christ, Christ is our high priest. Therefore, we are supposed to now take passages in the Bible and be able to understand them, the more difficult passages. And therefore, we to go on to spiritual maturity in our lives. And if we graduate from milk and now eating strong meat in our lives, according to the Word of God, then the Word is enlightened to us. It's enlightened. You go back to verse 4, Hebrews 6. The writer said it was impossible for those who once enlightened. He said these people had known what they needed to do to be saved, and they knew what to do to keep saved, but they didn't do it after they obeyed the gospel. And he said they then were once enlightened. They once was enthusiastic about the Word of God. They once was enthusiastic about teaching others. They once was enthusiastic about doing the work of God, but now they're not. He said it is impossible. The reason why he says impossible is this. It's impossible if these people won't change their minds. These people as Christians and those people had done the Word of God, and now it's impossible for those who were once enlightened, they tasted the heavenly gift, they made partakers of the Holy Ghost, they tasted the good Word of God, and the powers of the world come, if they should fall away. People may try to get them to come back to God. But they've made up their minds they don't want to come back to God, so therefore it's impossible to renew them again to repentance because they don't want to do it in the first place. But we should never give up on these people, but still try. And people said, well, I just like the way I'm living. I've had some tell me that. There have been members of the church that said, I just like the way I'm living. It's easier. God's Word must be internalized. We must make it a part of us, of our daily activities of life. In Ezekiel chapter 2 and chapter 3, read these when you get home tonight. Ezekiel 2 and 3. Ezekiel ate the roll. God told him to eat the roll. Result of that in Ezekiel chapter 3 verse 3 is that Ezekiel said, it was in my mouth as honey for sweetness. But then God sent Ezekiel to Israel, and he's trying to get them to come back to him because they've left him. They're in sin, and they left God. Well, you look at Revelation chapter 10, 9 through 11. Now, John ate the book. John ate the book. Look with me in verse 9 through 11, Revelation 10. And I went unto the angel and said unto him, give me the little book. And he said to me, take it and eat it up, for it shall be, make thy belly bitter, but it shall be in the mouth as sweet as honey. And I took the little book out of the angel's hand and ate it up, and it was in my mouth sweet as honey. And as soon as I'd eaten it, my belly was bitter. And he said to me, thou must prophesy again before many peoples, nations, and tongues, and kings. The sweetness of God's Word, so to speak, goes into our minds, right? And it's sweet. But when we start to help tell other people about the Word of God, we get a negative response. And people do not want to listen to it. And then it becomes bitter to them. David said in 119th Psalm in verse 11, hide the Word in his heart. Hide the Word of God in his heart, that he might not sin against God. Tonight, upon taking the Bible taste test, what's your reaction to the Word of God tonight? Do you hide the Word of God in your heart? Do you read it daily? Do you meditate upon the Word of God, as Psalm First Psalm said, meditate upon it day and night, as the psalmist said? Or have you let the world creep into your life? You let the world creep into your life. So, well, I'll do it later. But you have the opportunity tonight, repent of sins, if you need to come down front. Because this may be the only opportunity which you have. Most of this assembly are members of the church. And if you've not, and upon having this Bible taste test tonight, you see that in your life, you're not hiding the Word of God as you once did in your life. That sin has become prominent in your life, and you need to get rid of that sin. You sin publicly, and you need to repent publicly. You need to acknowledge that sin tonight. Pray with you that God, through His grace and mercy, will forgive you of those sins, that you can walk out of this building as a clean Christian. Or if we do have somebody who never obeyed the gospel of Jesus Christ, we encourage you to do that tonight by the time and opportunity has been given to you by God. And if you need to respond to the Word of God and the invitation of Jesus Christ, won't you come now as Jim leads us in our invitation song.